Okay, shalom everybody. We're continuing in volume 4 of Rav Kook's Enaya, his commentary on the Agarata. And the paragraph today is on Masechet Shabbat, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, and that is chapter 3, paragraph 4. And the Gemara tells us, Achal velo halach arba amot, if somebody eats a meal, and then he doesn't walk at least 4 cubits. That's about 2 meters. And Rashi adds, Kodim Sheyishan, before he sleeps. The Gemara says that's not healthy. Achilato merakivet. The food, instead of being healthy, it rots. And Rashi adds, Eina mitakelet lasod zevel. Instead of going through the system and becoming nutrients, and then whatever waste there is leaves the body, it ends up just staying in the body. V'zel tchilat reach ra, and this is the beginning of having a bad smell. Rashi explains, reach hapeh, having bad breath. And the two first things that we notice here is, I remember my mother-in-law, Zichron Alivracha, always, even after eating chulent on Shabbat, where everybody needs to rest, as the joke goes, Ha'ochel chulent b'Shabbat chayav mita, he needs to go to his bed and rest. My mother-in-law always used to make a point of sitting for a while and not going to sleep right after you eat. And I know that doctors say today that that really is unhealthy, just to go straight to bed from eating. So that's point number one. Point number two is, why does this bring bad breath? What's the connection between the mouth and what's going on in my digestive system, in my intestines? And obviously, as we've seen in the past, Rav Kook is going to give also a symbolic and musari, moral, that the Gemara here is going to teach us. So let's see it inside. So Rav Kook says as follows, Yotzir ha'adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who created man, bara et ha'adam in kol ha'echsherim asher ya'iruhu, Lashlamato hagufanit v'aruchanit yachad. God created us in a way that he prepared all of the physical and the spiritual needs that we have to work together. Here Rav Kook is already foreshadowing where he's going, that the physical needs help us understand our metaphysical needs. And this is something that we've seen many times in the Zohar, for example, that if we want to understand the physical world, we should try and understand the metaphysical, the spiritual world, and also vice versa. Hold on 1 second. It's the same God who created this world and who also created the spiritual world, and it's logical. And the Zohar says this world is even a hint to teach us what the real spirituality is about. If you remember, we spoke about when Rav Kook writes about the concept of Yirida, Letzorech Aliyah, that the world is based on, if you want to rise to a higher level, first there needs to be that fall, just like we have to crouch in order to jump, or we have to wind back in order to throw far. So too, the physical and the spiritual world work together. And v'ateva gufani tamid yechubar im ateva nafshi. And this is an important quote, a quotable quote of Rav Kook, that our physical nature will always be connected with our spiritual nature. Litorer el atov ve'el amoil. To know what is good also, and also what's beneficial, also physically and also spiritually, they really go together. If you remember, we discussed not that long ago, Rav Kook has a piska in called the Onig Vasimcha, where he says that if you want to understand spirituality, spiritual food, start out with understanding physical food, that God created an unbelievable amount of variety, and everybody has a different taste, and also our taste changes with time, and is the same thing with our spirituality. The same thing today, in Judaism we always knew that physical actions help and affect our spirituality. Somebody could have asked 3,000 years ago, why does eating a pig hurt my spirituality? One is physical and the other spiritual. What does shaking a lulav and etrog help my spirituality? But today, modern man knows, for example, in psychosomatic illnesses, that if a person thinks that he's sick, he eventually, his body will be sick. It'll show up on x-rays. And similarly, when a person takes drugs, that's a physical act, but that affects his thought process, his spirituality, uppers, downers, hyperactive kids, Ritalin, chocolate, all of these things. Today, man knows that a physical action can very well affect a person's spiritual or his nefesh, his soul's behavior. And here is a good example where the eating and not just resting, but to get up and do something after we eat, that is also an important spiritual message. Okay, paragraph bet. Alken, kasher hamida hara'a haklalit. Notice what Rav Kook, he's talking about laziness. He's saying when the bad character trait, the general bad character trait, it's not just a problematic trait, it is the general bad character trait. As we'll see, it's probably the most common problematic character trait. Hamorida et ha'adam ma'alato el shefil matzava be'imi. That lowers a person to from his godliness, from his spirituality, to be like an animal. Hi ha'atzlut is the problem of laziness. And laziness has a lot of ramifications, and that is the first point that Rav Kook is making. Laziness is not just a small problem. It is a general character flaw that most people have. And that's why it's important. Let's look for a second at Mesilat Yesharim, maybe even more than a second, where Mesilat Yesharim, the Ramchal, in his classic work of character perfection, this is the classic work of Musar. The first character trait that he says we have to work on is Zihirut, to be careful. Don't do stupid things, don't do reckless things. But the second character trait is Be'ur Midat Hazrizut. To the contrary, don't be lazy. Be energetic. Be enthusiastic. V'tireh ki teva ha'adam kaved ma'od. Here he spells it out from the very start. He says, the nature of man is heavy. It takes calories to get out of bed. It takes energy to get out of bed. And we have a certain laziness that status quo is just stay in bed and don't do anything. And this comes from the heavy nature, the body. If you don't have a living neshama, soul, to keep it up, it's just going to collapse. Because the body is heavy in its nature. Alken lo yachpotza adam betorach umelacha. That's why, we're in source number 2 for those who were who lost it. That's why people are not interested, the average person is not interested in working hard. Now, anybody who didn't understand this problem before our modern times, with the high standard of living that children grow up with today, today it is super problematic. And this is one of the problems that we have in the Israeli army, that everybody's, spends their time on their smartphone or on their computer, And then at the age of 18 or 19, to expect them to get up and to charge and to run 10 kilometers at a time. And these are things which are necessary for a Jewish state to survive with all of the anti-Jewish enemies that we have, inevitably. This is going to be a problem that we have to address, especially in our generation. So again, the body is heavy. Our nature is to be lazy. On the other hand, somebody who wants to serve God properly, somebody who wants to be a good Jew, a person has to overcome that natural heaviness, that animalistic heaviness that just wants to sleep and eat and drink and not do the spiritual things that man is meant to do, right? The Sefer HaKuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, he writes at the beginning of Chelek Gimel, the king of the Khazars asks him, who is the ideal Jew? And he answers, he is like a mifaked in the army. He's like a commander in the army. And the king asks, I asked you for the definition of righteousness. Why do you give me the definition of a commander in the army? And the Guzari explains, because a commander in the army, he can get his men to charge when they need to charge. They run, they eat, they rest when they need to rest. The issue, and by the way, this is one of the unbelievable constructive parts of Israeli society. I know not a few young men who were so lazy and so not idealistic and so problematic as teenagers, and then as soon as they get to the army turns them into what's called in Yiddish menches. They learn priorities. They learn not to be lazy. They learn to make their bed. They learn to wake up at 6 a.m. to catch the bus, because if they don't come on time, they're going to be docked for Shabbat, or they're going to be even, if they forget their rifle somewhere. You can't be lazy, and you can't be absent-minded. And this is a very Jewish message. Again, not just as a good character trait, but to be a good Jew, you have to have that energy to wake up for davening in the morning, to wake up for slichot, to wake up when the baby is crying at 2 a.m. We need energy. And continues the Mesilat Yesharim. Again, we're in source number 2. She'imu meniach atzmo biyad kveduto. If a person leaves himself in the hand of his natural heaviness, hu shelo yatz, vaday shu shelo yatzliach, he ain't going to succeed in anything. He's not going to succeed at his work. He's not going to succeed in school. He's not going to succeed in music. He's not going to succeed in his social contacts. He's not going to succeed in marriage. He's not. A person cannot function if he is lazy. V'hu ma she'amar hatana, this is what Chazal teach us in Pirkei Avot. Hevei az kanamer v'kal kenesher ratz katzvi v'gibor ka'ari la'asot ratzon avicha shebashamayim. A person has to learn the good from the animal world, to be brave like a leopard, and light like an eagle, and to run like a deer, and to be strong like a lion, in order to do the will of God. I should already point out that the very first halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, in the very first part of the Shulchan Aruch, in the very first halacha, is Yitgaber Ka'ari Lamod Baboker. A person has to wake up like a lion. The idea of just another 5 minutes in bed, that is not a good way to start the day. V'chein manu chachamim zal, and there, similarly, our rabbis teach us, in Masechet Brachot, bidvarim atzrichim chizuk. There are certain things which always need to be strengthened, that even if you think that you have mastered them, you can always work harder, because if you don't find yourself rising, you will be slipping down. The rabbis say this on the, there's an interesting halacha, lo talib ma lo tal mizbachi. It's at the end of, where is it? At the end of Parshat Mishpatim, I believe. It's the end of one of the Parshiot, that there's an Isser Deoraita to make steps going up to the altar. So how did the Kohanim get up to the altar? They had a ramp. What is the idea of a ramp? In a ramp, you cannot stay at the same level. Either you're walking up or you're sliding down. And this is a very, very important Jewish concept, that if you want anything in life, and especially, what are the examples that Chazal bring? Torah, u'ma'asim tovim. If you want to acquire Torah and good deeds, by the way, it's interesting, if you look there, what are the good deeds that are talking about? The Gemara refers to davening. We always need strengthening to improve our concentration in davening. Also in Eretz Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael always needs improvement because there's always difficulties in Eretz Yisrael. And we have to have that fortitude. A Jew needs fortitude in order to be a good Jew. U'mikra malehu, it's actually a pasuk at the beginning of Yehoshua. Chazak ve'ematz ma'od lishmor lasot kechol ha'torah she'tzivcha Moshe avdi. You have to constantly strengthen yourself in order to observe the mitzvah of Moshe, my servant. Ki chizuk gadol tzarich lemishe rotzeh likfot ha'teva el hofcho. Again, nature is heavy. But you have to notice, and this is something that the Ramchal himself points out later on in the book. He says, when is nature lazy if you just leave it in its natural, crude state? But if we use our logic, if we use our ratzon, that's the key word here in this context, ratzon is we can overcome anything. And if you remember, we spoke about this once, and we learned in Rav Kook in Ein Ayah, this was in Musar Avicha, I'm sorry, where Rav Kook writes that free will is so strong, it can even overcome our nature. For example, a person's nature is to eat, but if a person wants to diet, we can overcome that nature because our free will is stronger than our nature. The same thing, the opposite. If a person wants to stay up late, right? You have a job that you have to finish, right? You can drink coffee or caffeine and overcome your heavy nature that says, go to sleep, I'm tired. In other words, just as the nature in general is good, that we should need sleep, we should eat, but if we overeat or undereat, or if we sleep too much or sleep too little, that's where our free will comes in. That if we need it on the short term, we can overcome our nature. Continues the Mesilat Yesharim in paragraph Bet. To Bet. Vine Shlomo Shana Me'od Bazarato Alze. This is interesting. Just about 2, maybe 3 weeks ago, somebody asked me, I don't know if anybody here has ever visited my website and asked the rabbi. You just Google Yeshiva, Ask the Rabbi Ari Shvat, or Ask Rabbi Ari Shvat, and you'll find a couple of thousand of interesting questions and answers. And somebody asked me just a couple of weeks ago for some sources about laziness. What does Judaism have to say about laziness? And I mentioned to him that Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, also in the book of Mishlei, Proverbs, also in Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, that is one of the key ideas in his books. And here the Ramchal is pointing it out, and by the way, a lot of the sources that he brings are from Sefer Mishlei on this topic. By the way, remember, this is a king, the king of Israel, who is the wealthiest man in the world. He is nevertheless telling us, don't be a Jap. Don't be spoiled, and don't spoil your kids. You got to have that energy, enthusiasm. Don't be lazy. And he starts quoting Psukim from Mishlei. Me'at shnot, me'at tnumot, me'at chabek yadayim lishkav. Right, just another 5 minutes. Let me sleep a little more. Let me fold my hands a little more. Uvak malich reshcha umachsarcha ki ish magen. And this person, if he just wants another 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there, or he wants to rest a little here and a rest there, his poverty, reshcha is like with a yud, his poverty is going to climb up on him, and he's going to lose his money. Because again, if you're not climbing, you're slipping down. This, a lazy person, even though he may not be doing something bad, he's not getting up and doing something bad, through his passivity, through his not doing anything, that's also not good. As it says, again in Mishlei, again, most of the quotes here are from the book of Proverbs, somebody who is lazy in his work, he is the brother or the twin of somebody who is destructive. Because if you're not building, you're destroying. It's interesting, the Ramchal goes on to explain that God created the world in a way that you cannot stay status quo. You know what they say, especially regarding old people or somebody, chas v'shalom, has an accident, that if you don't use your muscles, if you don't use it, you lose it, right? I don't know if you've heard that, but that is so true. We have to just keep, and especially in the Western world, in our high standard of living, there are certain muscles that we're just not using because we don't have to work out in the fields. And God created the world, not just our muscles, a field. A field, if you don't tend the field, it's going to grow weeds. In other words, the field will not, your yard will not stay status quo. There's no such thing as status quo. If you're not working the field, you're destroying the field. And that is one of the ingenious ways that God created in the world. Now we're going to skip. I brought for you also a little from Perek Tet, from the ninth chapter, of not just the problem. Till now we've been talking about the problem of laziness, but how to acquire enthusiasm, how to break out of our laziness. So the Ramchal says, Hinei mimafsidei hazrizut. What are the things, he says, let's analyze, first of all, what are the things that prevent us from being enthusiastic? He says, enemy number one is this laziness. Because people like so much to rest. Vesinata Torah, we don't like to work hard. Ve'avata idunim, we like pleasures. We like to pamper ourselves. B'tashlum kol tna'ehem, we want to have everything and just enjoy it. Kine adam kaze vaday shetichbad alav avodah, any kind of work, not just serving God, which is called service, but any kind of service or work in the world, he ain't going to succeed. But also, he can't be a good Jew. Lifnei boro kovid gadol, if you're heavy and you see an opportunity to catch a mitzvah, and if you can't run to do it, you're going to miss it. Just like often a person, say, is coming late to shul, and it's actually brought in the Shulchan Aruch that you should run to shul, or at least run those last 10 steps to shul, to show enthusiasm. If you don't have it, then you just can't do it. Somebody who just wants to eat and enjoy everything and enjoy resting, and to sleep his sleep below Torah without work. He doesn't want to walk quickly. He wants to schlep things out and go at his own slow speed. How is this person going to wake up for shul in the morning? Right? Or to do any mitzvah? Or to help the community? Right? The Ramchal here and the Rav Kook in Einayat tonight is relating to the natural law of homeostasis, right, is to keep things that basic balance. You know, let's not rock the boat. And the problem is we can misuse that today. By the way, one of the beautiful things of youth movements is that youth movements are the answer to the technological, modern, high standard of living society. The very first youth movement, it was called Wundervogel in Germany. And it's sort of like the Boy Scouts. It wasn't Jewish. But the idea was they saw that young people were becoming too lazy and too heavy. And they said, let's get those kids out into nature. Let's get them hiking. Let's get them building. Let's teach them trades. And the Machanot Avoda, for example, that Bnei Akiva used to bring kids to volunteer on kibbutzim, these are very constructive and creative and educational ideas. I have a friend in Karnei Shomron who he complained that in the summer the kids don't have anything to do and they just waste their time. So, by the way, this was before Obama's period. This is like 20 years ago. So I suggested to them, why don't the kids set up a new yeshuv? And he said, that's a great idea. And the kids of Karnei Shomron, they set up a satellite yeshuv, and they built their own community. And, you know, they dug the latrines, and they arranged the electricity. And it was a very fun and different experience for today's children who are so lazy. Even some of the people here who are participating may remember me as a madrich. That one of the things we used to say when I was a madrich was, let's get the kids down and dirty. We have to teach them, you know, to manage out in nature and not to be Japs. I'll add another important thing parenthetically. After working 40 years now with young adults, it's clear as day that those who succeed in making aliyah are those who are not the spoiled brats. Those who can overcome the little lower standard of living and going to, they need to be able to go to the army. And it takes guts and it takes bravery and enthusiasm. And Zionism is the exact opposite of laziness. And that's one of the important things that we see today in the youth movements. And we have to make a conscious effort in ourselves and also in our children to make sure that that they don't become lazy. Not just for their own lives, but also, excuse me, to be good Jews. Let's just jump down. Towards the end of that paragraph, the end of paragraph Gimel. A kol sheken lemaher atzmo ledivrei mitzvah o letalmud Torah. A person should have the zest to run to do a mitzvah, to run to learn Torah, to go to shul, to go to a class. Umisha margil atzmo lemin hagota ele einenu adon be'atzmo. Somebody who accustoms themselves to be lazy, he's not a master over himself. He cannot overcome, all of a sudden, yeah, I'll have energy when I need it. It doesn't work that way. He has accustomed himself to that heaviness. Okay? And I just brought a bunch of psukim. Maybe we'll just quickly see some of these verses from Shlomo HaMelech. Again, the smartest person who ever lived and the wealthiest person who ever lived. Here is the secret. Perek Yud Chet Pasuk Tet. Gam mitrape bimlachto achu lebal mashchit. We saw that. Al zdei yishatzel avarti v'al kerem adam chaser lev. When I, says Shlomo, when I pass the field of a lazy person, I could tell from the weeds and from the lack of grapes and fruit what type of person he is. Kohelet, Perek Yud, Ba'atzaltaimi macha mikareu, v'shiflut yadayim idlof habayit. If a person is lazy, eventually his roof will cave in. Right? The roof will not just stay there as it is, and if it begins with a little drip, if you don't fix a little drip, it will turn into a big drip. And that's how houses fall apart. And the secret is, don't be lazy. Mishle Kavav, Chacham Atzil Be'inav Mishiva Mishivei Tam. Shlomo HaMelech says that the lazy person, he is extremely creative, he is full of excuses, he, in his own mind, is smarter than anyone. Mishle Kavbet, Chazita Ish Mahir Bimlachto, Lifnei Melachim Yityatzav Bal Yityatzev Lifnei Chashuchim. An energetic, enthusiastic person, those are the people that go before the kings. They are the ones who are, brought up in the world. Advanced. Promoted. That's the word I want. Mishlei Kavav, Amar Atzel Shachal Baderech, Ari Ben Arachovot. Lazy people, they'll always find an excuse. Oh, maybe there is a lion in the streets. Maybe it's dangerous outside. Maybe it's too cold. Maybe it's too hot. You know what? If you're looking for excuses, it's almost always going to be something, either hot or cold. But the bottom line is, you got to do what you got to do. There's a famous example of, who was it? I believe it was the Saba of Kelm, who used to, gave the example. He says that, sometimes I prefer learning in the comfort of my own home. Look at all these books I have at my disposal. I don't have to get up, and I can make myself a cup of coffee, and I have quiet. On the other hand, there is the advantage of learning in the Beit Midrash, where you have the atmosphere and the humming of learning. So what he said, what I used to do when I had to decide where am I better off learning, I would first walk to the yeshiva, and only after I was in the yeshiva, once I was there, I decided, should I stay? Or should I go back home? In other words, to try and neutralize the whole idea of laziness. Okay, let us get back to Rav Kook, because we're running out of time. So, Rav Kook, again, is talking about the general problem of laziness. Now we're going to put on the gas. Paragraph bet. Al ken, kasher hamida hara'a klalit. Just move this over, drop. Yeah. When this general problematic trait of laziness, hamoridata dami malato el shefel matzav habehimi, it lowers him to the level of even almost being animalistic, because again, an animal doesn't have free will. God has free will. Animals don't have free will. And a person is somewhere in the middle that he can choose to be energetic and have free will and activate, do what he wants, or to be like an animal who doesn't have that free will, because if a person chooses to be lazy. Hi ha'atzlut, this is the problem of laziness. Ha'alula la'sigita adamu la'tbiya chotamo aruho. That this is a general character trait that can leave its mark on a person's personality and a spirituality. Ubiyoter ya'alula lavo alav achare achlo. When do we especially feel this laziness? After we eat. Again, remember how the Gemara began? After you eat, you have to get up and at least walk 4 amot. Otherwise, it's not healthy and you'll have bad breath in your mouth. Okay? So now we're going to decipher the symbolic code of the Gemara. So again, a person's problematic time, most problematic time of laziness is right after he eats. Gufo huchbad michu mikoved ha-ma'achal, what's called the Chilin syndrome. Whenever I'm a scholar in residence, I never agree to give a class right after the meal. Because after the meal, after the chillin, everybody is tired. V'nafsho yarda mi'asakea etzaliyim aliske chushim be'imim. When a person eats, he is lowered from his spirituality into tending just to his body. And when a person is eating, and even when he finishes eating, if he stays in that same place, that's not good for him, because he's not in a good place. Hare, right after he eats, if he gets up and he starts moving around, then the nutrients, the minerals, are going to get transported throughout the body, like they should be. Tia filu kalasha betnot, even just make the smallest effort. Aval mecha'a neged atzluta shfeila kvar yeshkan, even just to walk 4 steps, to walk 4 cubits, at least something symbolic, not to stay put, sitting where you wait. Alecha ben adam lakum v'lalechet. We must get up and walk, even the minimum 4 amot. What is 4 amot in halacha? That is the territory of the individual. If something falls into my 4 amot, it's mine. The transferring on Shabbat of one thing from one place to another, if there's no Eruv, you're not allowed to move things 4 amot. Because again, 4 amot is a person's... That's like staying put. So get up, don't stay put. Shein mekomo shel adam, that's what 4 cubits, 2 meters, represents. Alav latzet mimkomo umimamado she'amad alav be'et achilato. Get out of the mode and the place of where you ate. Ula'alot lemadrega acheret, rise to a higher level. Yotero yonav yotero noshit, to a more human level. If you don't move a little after you eat, then the food will be counterproductive. It's not going to do its job. Just like laziness is not good spiritually or physically, so too, if you continue sitting and you don't move after you eat, then it's going to be problematic. Paragraph Gimel. Pirud ha-yesodot sheba mi'ikul bari ten pri lo sifomets u'gvura. Adarabha, when a person eats and moves, exercises, digests the food, that is going to give him strength. Ve'a-omets va'gvura yosifu kisharon v'sechol tov la'avod u'lumasa. Rav Kook here is quoting the verses regarding Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi, they did a lot of schlepping in the Midbar, in the Beit HaMikdash, right? They schlepped the boards here, and they were the ones from who we learn that you're not allowed to carry things on Shabbat for 4 amot. So here Rav Kook is telling us that the physical and the spiritual idea of getting on the move after we eat, that's an important lesson. V'chasher adam la'amal pen nivra. A person was created for the work of his mouth. You all see where Rav Kook is going now? What is the connection that we've been talking about with reach hapeh? With, why do I have to pay the price? Why is the punishment for not moving after I eat? Why is it bad breath? Rav Kook is telling us, he's actually quoting a Gemara, which we'll see quickly. Jump down to the end in Masechet Sanhedrin in source number 9, where the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin tells us, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kol Adam La'amal Nivra, Shneamar Ki Adam La'amal Yulad. Very important pasuk. I think I've mentioned this to my children maybe more than any other pasuk. Man was created for work, not to be lazy. We are not in this world just to be lazy and to enjoy. Man was created le'ovda u'lishomra, to work. Eni yodea, but the Gemara asks, eni yodeim lamal penivra im lamal mlachanivra. But are we referring to working with the mouth, speaking, educating, helping people with our mouth, with our words? Keshu omer ki achaf alav piu, hevi omer la'amal penivra. That not just physical work, but even more important, verbal work. That's what man was created for. And notice, Rav Kook is explaining, this is the difference between man and animals. Animals do not speak. Animals, they eat, they rest. If we educate them to work, they will work. But that is not a good status for a person to be in. Let's jump down to the last paragraph, Dalet. V'zel tchilat reach hapeh. Neged tudat amal hapeh, hayotze mioto achelek haro'i lezeh al kol panim mi'amin ha'enoshi. At least human beings, that's us, and that's who we're talking about. When we eat, we have the knowledge to get up and move. We also have the knowledge to speak. al yedei gerush ha'atzlut ha'klalit mikirbo, through getting up and walking, even symbolically, a minimal walking after eating, we are chasing away laziness, shehu reach ra. Laziness is bad, is a bad odor. Ma she'avodah mashlemet et hatzura enoshit ha'bal yedei ha'seder ha'nachon mevi'a le'otah hishtalmut ha'tovah shel hitalut ha'nefesh le'matzav ha'reach ha'tov. Rav Kook is going to quote now that Chazal tell us that human beings who are active, they davka have good smell. In other words, what is the Talmud trying to teach us, that if a person is lazy, he's going to have a bad smell in his mouth? Well, the mouth, we explained, that's the difference between man and animals. And why is the, what is the symbolism of the bad odor from the mouth? Well, it's the exact opposite of the good odor. What brings good odor? Vashpa'a metukenet ha'ba mi'anagat uve'enoshit, when human beings act properly, bi'otau lechet v'shoefet el'al, where a human being is not lazy, does not just stay put, but wants to keep rising. About this, the pasuk in Hosea 14 says, Yelchu, oh, I'm missing a word here. Yelchu yon kotav. Yelchu yon kotav, vihi kazait hodo v'reach lo kilvanon. That this person who will go, he's on the move. Notice what Rav Kook is doing here. The idea of Yelchu, where the Gemara says, that's the important catchword here. Get moving so that you can be like a olive. What is the idea of the olive? And also to have good fragrance, not bad breath. So let's go down. We'll finish with the Yalkut Shimoni. In Yirmiyahu Remez Resh Pei Tet, source number 10. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Laman nimshelu Yisrael kezayit. Some of you may be familiar with this from the Tu B'Shvat Seders. Why is Am Yisrael likened to an olive? To an olive tree. Lomar lecha ma zayit ein alav noshrin lo b'yemot ha'chama v'lo b'yemot ha'geshamim. The olive is the evergreen tree of Eretz Yisrael, which is evergreen. Its leaves don't fall, not in the winter and not during the summer. Af Yisrael ein lehem batala. Do you see what Rav Kook is doing beautifully here? He's taking this Mamar Chazal and the Pasuk, which talks about olives, and says that olives don't waste time. They're always working. They're always green. They don't lose their leaves. Not in this world and not in the next world. Not in the winter and not in the summer. We're not scared of the cold. We're not scared of the heat. We go and do what must be done. Energetic, enthusiastic, not lazy. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Lama Nimshulu Lezait. Another reason why Jews are likened to the olive. Lomar lecha ma zayit ze ein motzi shamno ela al yedei ktisha. Af Yisrael ein chozrin lemutav ela al yedei yisurin. If beforehand we spoke about how Israel is likened to the olive tree that doesn't rest, that's always green, not batala. Similarly, the olive itself, the fruit, if you just leave it as a fruit, it is not edible. But the goodness comes out of working it. Le'abedetze, to pickle it, to kotesh, to grind it, to turn it into olive oil. And by the way, Dafka, it's interesting, Chazal tell us that a person should not eat raw olives. Raw olives bring forgetfulness, but olive oil is good for your memory. And similarly, it says, don't take large steps, but walk many fast steps. Otherwise, you'll forget. And a third thing there, if you don't want to forget, do not wear two clothes at the same time. Remember, as children, we used to take off our undershirt and tzitzit and shirt together. And then when we got dressed in the morning, we used to put it all three at the same time. The Gemara says you shouldn't do that because that's good for forgetfulness. In other words, you become forgetful. What is the common denominator between these three things? The common denominator is laziness. If a person wants to eat olives without pickling or turning them into olive oil, that's laziness. If a person takes long steps instead of many quick short steps, that's a type of laziness. If a person wants to get dressed two or three clothes at a time, that's a type of laziness. And if a person is lazy, he's going to forget. Why? Because the alphabet of remembering our Torah is by reviewing, is by working hard. And to summarize what Rav Kook is beautifully explaining, this pasuk here of about the olive, about the getting up and walking, and what is the final point? Having a nice fragrance. Where does the nice fragrance come from in this pasuk? Well, kireach lo kilvanon. Well, the as Rav Kook is explaining, the good fragrance is the exact opposite of what the Gemara says about having bad breath. Laziness is bad breath. And that's what the Gemara is telling us, is what happens when we just leave the food rot in our stomach and we don't get up and move a little. And what happens is, instead of having the body break down the food into minerals, what happens is that it ends up being counterproductive. Bekitzur, a beautiful explanation, also the Midrash, also the Pasuk there in Hosea, and a beautiful symbolic explanation of the Gemara.